It's often been said that history repeats itself. I think it does to some measure. But it seems like we have a hard time learning from those that have gone before us. And sometimes we walk the paths of our lives and we see these road signs. We even see the danger signs. We see the yield signs and various things. And sometimes we don't yield. Sometimes we don't stop. Sometimes we don't take a look down the track to the left or to the right, and we step into the lane and the train comes and knocks us over. Sometimes we look at those that are around us and we compare ourselves and our lives to how they've lived their lives, and we compare ourselves and the things we own. And sometimes we get caught up in the Joneses mentality. But I think from a biblical perspective, it's very important and necessary that we learn from those that have gone before us. In particular, we read verse 3 earlier. It says, "By faith we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that we now see," in this case 2,000 years ago, "and now." It came from a command that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. And so you see, it is by faith. But it's not all that different than the scientists either. And those that argue a late creation or an early creation, those that say the earth is 10 billion years old and so on and so forth, and even for those that say it's 20 at the most, it's still a matter of faith. There's always going to be an element of uncertainty. The reason that we did not come from Neanderthals is because there's a missing link. And that missing link cannot be found, and it won't be found, because it doesn't exist. Anyone knows that, has read history and understands. Darwin himself never really thought about applying evolution to a social ethic. His idea of the survival of the fittest was for and applied to the animal kingdom. And he even himself said that. But now it means all more than that. He never meant to apply the survival of the fittest to a social ethic. That would be madness. Creation. Regardless of one's worldview, there is an element of faith that must be acknowledged and reckoned with. We have to recognize that there's evidence that's there, whether we choose to acknowledge that evidence is sufficient or not. In my view, early on, I took an atheistic position. Didn't want anything to do with Christians. Thought they were hypocrites and liars. Oh, I just did not understand. I did not understand at all. The position that one takes, regardless of the position, is a position of faith. So my question to you is, let's accept that the Bible is some form of evidence. Because to say that it's mythical and that it's fairy tales, while some may say, and I would even grant them that argument, even if I was to grant that the Bible was fairy tales and myths, which I don't believe, but even if I did say, I would grant the person in an argument, philosophically and theologically, that I will grant your position that it is fairy tales and myths for the sake of the argument. Even if, which I don't believe, we don't believe that at Generations at all. We believe the Bible to be the final authority of faith and practice. It's a very inspired word of God. We believe that. But even in granting that it's myth and fairy tales, to say that it's not evidence is utter nonsense. It is evidence. But so to try in advance to dissuade or to disprove that the evidence exists is nonsensical and, may I say with forgiveness, moronic. It is evidence. It's sort of like the fetus is not a baby. Let's call it a fetus so we don't have to call it a baby. Let's fine someone $10,000 and put him in prison 15 years for killing a bald eagle. But it's perfectly legal to kill an unborn child. Really? We need to learn from those that have gone before us. I don't apologize for my positions, and I won't, ever. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But I don't think I am. If we hold this worldview as Christians, we hold this worldview that the entire universe was formed at God's command, and what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen, then we come from a very specific set of theological values and beliefs. At least the Bible has the temerity to say it's by faith. At least our forefathers acknowledged, those that have gone before us and those that are listed in this chapter, they said, the writer of Hebrews said over and over, by faith, 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 by faith. They acted as if God was telling the truth in the Bible. They acted, and their ethic was informed that the Bible was correct, and they acted upon it. Perfectly? No. But they acted upon it. I was in biblical Ur. When I deployed to Iraq, I was stationed 2 minutes from Ur. We were in biblical Ur. It's now called Nazaria. There was a temple there called the Ziggurat. I preached the gospel of Jesus Christ to the soldiers standing on top of the Ziggurat in south central Iraq. And believe me, there's nothing around but desert as far as the eye can see. Not a twig, not a shrub, not a plant, nothing but sand. For as far as you could see in every direction. No wonder Abraham left. God told him, go to Canaan. And he did. But remember, keep in mind that when he left, he was walking into the nothingness. There was nothing there. Zilch. Some believe that it's possible that at one point, maybe shortly after the flood, that the bottom of the ocean was that area. We don't know for sure. It's possible. If the deluge covered the highest slope, Mount Everest probably wasn't in existence at that point. It was when the waters receded and the plate shifted that those were created and thrust up higher. Maybe there's a little scientific evidence to prove that Everest was Everest prior to the flood. Maybe. Either way, though, a global deluge with the tectonic plates opening up and the springs shooting out water plus the rain, that's what caused the flood and the ice age, by the way. If that's true, which we believe it is, then when Abraham left, he left by faith. And he was walking blindly. Not quite. Because he had a command, didn't he? So is walking blindly truly blindly when you have a command? God told him to go. So when he left, even though all the things he could see was saying, don't do it. He must have had a whole lot of camels carrying that water. I've been out there, and I could tell you. One time during my time over there, I stood outside in the elements for 12 hours. It was part of our mission, we had to do it. 136 degrees. Now they say the hottest place on earth was not where I was. Liar. It certainly was. But remember, they record the hottest temperature in the shade, not in the direct sunlight. But I can tell you this, it was 136 plus degrees, and on the tarmac, it was 147 degrees. That's where all the concrete and the pavement was. It was like a sauna. Anyway, I drank a liter of water per hour, literally. And when I peed, it was 10 hours later, and it was still yellow. Your body just dehydrates impossibly. It just evaporates. You know what CLP is? A cleaner they use to clean weapons. It's like a little light film of oil. And in the desert, you want your body to have a light coat of CLP, except it's not oil. It's your sweat. Because that sweat cools you. And any breeze, even if it's a sauna blast, still feels cooler when you have that light coat of sweat all over your body. And actually, when you're wearing the clothes, it's cooler. I saw Bedouins that looked like they were like over there ice fishing when it was 30 below zero. Honestly, I had big turbans on. They weren't turbans like you see with the point. These were wool caps, and they had a sash around their head, and they had, you know, 4 inches deep full of wool clothing and a sash here, and they were bound up. And you thought, how can you live at 120 degrees? No, they were cool. That cooled them off. Because your body starts to regulate itself once you're hydrated. So you think about the misery, the heat and everything, but if you're hydrated, your body tolerates that. Not bad, actually. As long as you keep your skin out of the sun, keep your head covered, your neck covered, your hands are exposed, your face is exposed, you're wearing sunglasses, you're wearing a boonie cap, you're covered up. But how do we learn all that? How do we learn how to dress in the desert? How do we learn how to act in the desert? How do we learn that we need to drink a liter of water an hour if we're out there doing activity? And boy, between 11 and 3, no strenuous activity outside, zero. You will be a casualty for sure, hydrated or not. You can't do that. It's like working out in a sauna. Imagine going into a sauna and start hitting a heavy bag. Go ahead and try it once. No, don't. Don't do that. How we learn? We learn from those that have gone before us. We learn those lessons and we learn those things from those that have been there before. And so in our faith, in our relationship with God, we learn from the scripture, but we learn from those that have gone before us. What does the world business model says? If you want to be successful at business, find someone who did it successfully and do what they did. This is not rocket science. If you want to be especially successful in your faith, read the Bible. Love others, love your neighbors, yourselves, pray to God, and do what you feel compelled to do by the Holy Spirit. That's how you have a successful life. Because that will bring peace and joy and satisfaction. Our faith informs us. And so we look down through the scripture. Now, we said this before. Now, I don't care where you stand politically, on the left or the right. I've said this before, that God's not concerned about the left wing or the right wing. He's concerned about the bird. But on this Memorial Day, and when Memorial Day was enacted and what was put into a practice became a holiday, and what was prior to that was specifically the World Wars. Both of those. And even further back, perhaps there was practices of it with the ladies during the Civil War. And so this is a very old tradition. But remember that their lives were given, the veteran, who will say all branches, gave their lives that they might be free from tyranny and oppression. I don't want to have a history lesson this morning because we don't have time. But we know for sure that Nazi Germany, had they been allowed to get away with what they were doing, they would have tried to conquer the entire world. They absolutely would have. Given the opportunity, the Soviets would have done the same thing a few years later. We also know that the South lost in their war with the Union, and that was an unrighteous war for them, unfortunately, and it caused a civil war. That civil war was fought 100%, no matter what people tell you today, remember, it was fought 100,000% for the purposes of the slavery abolition. And it was the people in charge, including Abraham Lincoln at the time, white European males, who ended slavery. Let's not get history confused. Let's not get it confused at all. Let us remember how things were. Not to say that we were perfect, not to say that we were, you know, right in all things. Slavery was a horrible thing. It was the way of the world, though. But at least it was ended. And it ended here. Now, there was still slavery in the world in other places, and I think there probably still is slavery even going on in some places now, illegal or not. But we ended it here, and it caused a civil war, and many hundreds of thousands of people died from the South and the North to fight so that all people could be free. That's what our Constitution stood for. And so on Memorial Day, we remember that they gave their lives in respect to their country and to the people of this country. And they were protecting us from those that would harm us. And this last war that I was in, and it lasted 20-something years, some pay, it was all for oil and political reasons and all that. That's fine. But may I warn you again that those people who we were fighting, given the opportunity, would behead any one of you happily on TV today. It is a religious war of a different kind. I know. I was there. I had a bounty on my head of $300,000. Wouldn't they have loved to kill a pastor, a chaplain on TV? Wouldn't they have loved to have done that? Yeah, they would have. And there were still 6,000 plus that gave their lives in this war for our country. And they faced the enemy daily. A very hard thing. And so we must remember the sacrifice paid. You see how I'm driving a parallel here? We're most concerned with the scripture. We're most concerned how our world impacts our Christianity. And we're most important thing is how our Christianity informs how we act in the world. So we look at Hebrews 11. If you have your Bible, you take it out. I'm just going to read through these very quick, a few of these. It was by faith in verse 5 that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Some would say that's preposterous. That never happened. Well, what do you mean? Lazarus, the other Lazarus, was raised from the dead. Do you remember that? And people were eyewitnesses. But we can't count that as a fairy tale, as a myth. Well, it's still evidence, though. By the way, you know, when you go to the doctor, there's evidence that the medical doctor accepts without proof. Well, what do you mean, Vince? Look at the pain scale. Totally subjective. He can't prove that you're in that pain, or she can't prove you're in that amount of pain, or Lisa, it's not. It's based on what you say. But it's totally subjective. It's anecdotal. I thought we weren't supposed to accept anecdotal subjective evidence. But they accept it all the time. You get the happy scale out, well, I'm this or that, blah, blah, and he signs a medicine based on it. So, yeah, we do accept evidence that's anecdotal and subjective. Yeah, we do. Make no mistake. It was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. Verse 7, it was by faith that Noah built a large boat to save his family from the flood. And it was by faith that Abraham obeyed God when he called him to leave home and go to another land. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child. She was 90 years old when she gave birth. Impossible. Can't happen. It's a fairy tale. It's a myth. Is it? Then how do you explain Isaac? Well, Isaac wasn't real. Oh, really? See the trail that starts to go on? See the things that have to happen in order for us not to accept it? It's one lie after another lie after another lie, or a half-truth. And by the way, a half-truth, 50% true is 100% false. It was by faith that even Sarah was able to have a child, though she was too old. 13, all these people died still believing what God had promised them. They did not receive what was promised, but they saw it all from a distance and welcomed it. They agreed that they were foreigners and nomads here on earth. Do you consider yourself a nomad, a foreigner here on earth, as an ambassador of the Lord Jesus, that this is not our home? Think of it. Obviously, people who say such things are looking forward to a country they can call their own. If they had longed for the country they came from, they could have gone back. But they were looking for a better place, a heavenly homeland. That is why God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. And you can read about that in Revelation. It was by faith that Abraham offered Isaac. It was by faith that Isaac promised blessings for the future to his sons. It was by faith that Jacob, when he was old and dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons and bowed in worship as he leaned on his staff. It was by faith that Moses' parents hid him for 3 months when he was born. It was by faith that Moses, when he grew up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. It was by faith that the people of Israel went right through the Red Sea as they were on the dry ground. But when the Egyptians tried to follow, they were all drowned. It was by faith that the people of Israel marched around Jericho for 7 days, and the walls came crashing down. It was by faith that Rahab, the prostitute, was not destroyed with the people in her city who refused to obey God, for she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled in justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weaknesses was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Women received their loved ones back again from death, but others were tortured, refusing to turn to God, from God, in order to be set free. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. Some were jeered at, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in prison. Some died by stoning. Some were sawed in half, and others were killed with the sword. Some went about wearing skins of sheep and goats, destitute and oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world, wandering over deserts and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground. All these people earned a good reputation because of their faith, yet none of them received all that God had promised. For God had something better in mind for us, so that they would not reach perfection without us. Meaning, when the time comes, when the time is fulfilled. Either when Jesus comes back and returns to get us, or you go to be with him in heaven. So we have to learn from those before us. We have to learn from their examples, and we have to follow them. It's our obligation. They placed their hope in a better life after the resurrection. And that's what we believe. We endure hardships and trials. We endure adversity. We march on. We get back in the saddle. We pull ourselves up by the bootstraps, and... because that's not all, that's just the world part, isn't it? We ask one another for help and prayer. We find each other and we worship together and we come together for support and encouragement, that we endeavor to follow God in the way that he asks, commands actually. And what is that command? Love the Lord your God with all of your strength, all of your soul, all of your might, and love your neighbor as yourselves. That's how we're supposed to act. And we're out of time. Worship team, would you come?